feels like the government hasn't really done housekeeping. And the problem is that when nobody appears to be in charge, then problems really do start, because then you have all kinds of security issues, right? You have people taking advantage of the fact that people don't seem to be in charge. So South Africa has something called a security strategy, right? It is it's the national security strategy. It is the security strategy between 2024 and 2028. And I thought, well, let's find out what people in the security industry who are the strategists really think about it, because, you know, maybe it's more of, you know, like Johannesburg water. Okay, Eskom, for a better example. So called up Willem Els, he is the guy. He's from the Institute of Security Studies and talking about the National Security Strategy. Good afternoon, Willem. How are you?
Good afternoon. Very well, and you?
All right, thank you. So you're obviously very familiar with the National Security Strategy 2024-2028. What's your assessment of it?
Thank you. I think it's a very good question, because if we see that, you know, it's the first time that that our National Security Strategy has been released, even though it's a redacted version of it, that has been made public. So for the first time, actually, in many years, South Africans can actually see and realize what is our security, what is national security, what is on the radar of the security cluster and also government, in order to safeguard and secure and look after the well-being of South Africans. So that is the, that being said, you know, it, the timing of the release maybe is a bit you know, uncertain. Why only now, a year or more than a year after it's been approved by Parliament, and it's only going to run until 2028. Of course, then we will have to look at the new strategy. Now, if you look at the strategy and what is important about that, you know, in South Africa, we are actually very good. We are champions when it comes to the drafting of strategies. Well, we got about 92 different strategies that has been approved and that should be implemented.
And commissions of inquiry, we're very good at those also. Commissions of inquiry, we're very good. We can extend them over years. Okay, I'm just saying.
Of course.
Talent.
Yeah. No, that's true. But you know, the problem that we have is very few of those strategies, if any, are actually fully implemented. So we come up with a security strategy, but we fail to actually release and also commit to an implementation plan that will actually stick us to keep to the timelines and actually implement it. And that is one of the main deficiencies of the strategy.
Okay, so I want to just actually share. I put it into one of the AIs, right? One of the AI platforms that I use, because often, just to help me to understand things in the most simple form, I put it into AI and I say, simplify this so that a five-year-old can understand it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Would you like to know what it came back with?
Please do.
Okay. 47 pages. That's how long the report is. Okay? And this is what it was summarized to. The National Security Strategy emphasizes that security is vital for South African sovereignty, stability and development amid a changing global landscape marked by emerging powers and increasing threats like climate change, cyber warfare, terrorism and economic disruptions. It highlights five key components: national interest, identity, will, values and power, aiming to create conditions for a safe, prosperous, and unified society. The strategy outlines eight pillars: public security, territorial integrity, sovereignty, economic security, cybersecurity, technological and environmental protection, and cultural heritage, each with specific objectives. It identifies high-level threats, including global crises, regional conflicts, domestic crime, corruption, social violence, climate change, and cyber threats, emphasizing collective responsibility and societal engagement to address them. Collective responsibility, in other words, how you own private security firms, the strategy underscores the importances or the importance of a culture of preparedness, innovation, and international cooperation to mitigate risks and ensure sustainable national development. How did I do?
No, you did fairly well, I think, or the AI did very well.
AI did well.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you look at the pillars, every strategy has to have some pillars, and those pillars are actually the structure that keep the roof of the strategy floated on top. And the challenge that you have is here we have five different pillars, as you mentioned, and if one of those pillars start to crumble, and we are not doing good in that, it will bring the others down with it.
Right.
And that is exactly what you have with a functioning state, and the difference between a functioning state and a failed state. And here we can now start with our analysis and say, okay, how did we do with pillar one? How did we do, or how are we doing with pillar two, three, four? And because some of them we are doing fairly well, some of them we are doing really well, but some of them we are really very bad in.
Yes.
That is a challenge.
Well, you and I have spoken on countless, actually quite a few radio shows, to talk about the security and the threat of terrorism, of fundamentalism within South Africa, mm-hmm. the training camps, mm-hmm. as well as what was happening, I think it was in Mozambique. Southern Mozambique, mm-hmm. as well as Northern Mozambique. We've spoken about, you know, Al-Shabaab. We've spoken about all these fundamentalist Islamic movements and mm-hmm. how they have access to South Africa because our borders are so porous. You know, does the strategy address that, Willem?
To some extent, you know, and I think when we stand back and look at that, you know, we look at it from a transnational organized crime perspective, but also the nexus with terrorism because the two go hand in hand. If you look at your organized crime, you know, those syndicates and those, they can operate and function without terrorism. But it seems that terrorism needs, or terrorist organizations need, the organized crime syndicates in order to feed them, to sustain them, and to provide them with the needs in order to fulfill their mandate or what their ideologies.
Yeah.
So that is very important that we have to look at that from that perspective. And if you look at pillar one, it actually look at the objective of South Africans or public, the protection of South Africans or public security. That means the well-being of South Africans. Now, if you look at the Transnational Organized Crime Index, where they looked at criminality across the 50-odd African countries, and then they rate them in terms of the different forms of crime or that is prevalent there. They look at the main groups of crime, but also they look at what actors are involved. So what we look at there, we see that South Africa is number one out of the 16 countries in SADC in terms of criminality. We are number three in Africa behind the DRC and Nigeria in terms of criminality in Africa. And we are number seven in the world when it comes to levels of criminality.
Well, exactly.
So that is not where, that's not where we want to be. And that already demonstrates that pillar one is faced with the serious, serious challenges. And the challenge that you have with that, if you look at that, is that you know your one of the main challenges you meant is our corruption. It means is either the strength and safety, security, civil society, fight corruption, protect the citizens, all forms of property, protect rights, freedom, citizens, eradicate poverty. It goes on like that. And how are we doing just in pillar one? If you look at our border security, that is one of our main challenges, our porous borders, as you mentioned. And, you know, borders are not just porous because they are so vast, unprotected, understaffed, under-surveilled, et cetera, et cetera. Your borders are also very porous because of your corruption of your what we call referred to state embedded actors.
Right.
Those are your state actors that are actually supposed to be the barrier between the neighboring country and the evil coming from outside and protect South Africa, South Africans on the inside. And we are dismally failing there already.
Yeah.
So that is where we start. And then it goes into your corruption. You know, if you look at your average in Africa of state-embedded actors in the prevalence, South Africa is about four index points above the average for Africa.
That's incredible. I mean, even if the with the Financial Action Task Force, that's a, what's the FATF, whatever it's called, we're still on the grey list, right? We're on the grey list now, South Africa.
That's correct. You know, we've been there since for almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
And fortunately, you know, initially, I'm currently in Tanzania where we are at a workshop where we are looking at your FATF challenges, money laundering, as well as terror funding in a regional perspective. And it's scary. If you look at a country like Tanzania, it took them less than 18 months to be removed from the grey list. It took a country like Mozambique, like Mauritius, 9 months to be removed from the grey list.
Yeah.
South Africa is there for 3 years, and hopefully in October, we might be removed. They're currently busy with assessment, and if we tick all the boxes according to them with the joint evaluation, we might be removed. But then your challenge is, your challenge is that then we have to submit a maintenance plan. Because if we don't maintain those levels of preparedness and all the others that have been highlighted in the 40 outcomes that you have to do perform as a country, we might slip back on the grey list. So that's our challenge.
Yeah, and you know what? It all starts with political will. But when
of course.
The only political will we have is for parties to fight one another. You know, they're all waving their own party's flags. Nobody's waving the flag for the South African people, which is the South African flag. And that's more disconcerting to me as a citizen of South Africa. Anyway, Willem Els, that's where we leave it.
Okay.
All right. But I do hope to speak to you soon. Thank you so much. That is Willem Els. He's from the Institute of Security Studies.